اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أفتتح الثناء بحمدك، وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنك، وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة، وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة، وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك، فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي، وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي، وأقل يا غفور عثرتي، فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها، وهموم قد كشفتها، وعثرة قد أقلتها، ورحمة قد نشرتها، وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا، ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، ولم يكن له شريك في الملك، ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها، على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه، ولا منازع له في أمره. الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه، ولا شبيه له في عظمته. الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده، الظاهر بالكرم مجده، الباسط بالجود يده، الذي لا تنقص خزائنه، ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما إنه هو العزيز الوهاب. اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير مع حاجة بي إليه عظيما وغناك عنه قديم، وهو عندي كثير وهو عليك سهل يسير. اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وصفحك عن ظلمي وسترك على قبيح عملي وحلمك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي، أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك، الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك، فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا، لا خائفا ولا وجلا، مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك، فإن أبطأ عني عتبت بجهلي عليك، ولعل الذي أبطأ عني هو خير لي لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور، فلم أرى مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك علي. يا رب إنك تدعوني فأولي عنك وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إليك، وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك، كأن لي التطول عليك، فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك. فارحم عبدك الجاهل وجد عليه بحسب فضل إحسانك، إنك جواد كريم. الحمد لله مالك الملك مجري الفلك مسخر الرياح فالق الأصباح ديان الدين رب العالمين. الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه، والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته، والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه، وهو قادر على ما يريد. الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الإصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام، الذي بعد فرى فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله ولا شبيه يشاكله ولا ظهير يعاضده، قهر بعزته الأعزاء وتواضع لعظمته العظماء، فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه، فكم من موهبة هنيئة قد أعطاني وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني وبهجة مونقة قد أراني، فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا، الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب آمله. الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويضع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين. والحمد لله قاصم الجبارين مبير الظالمين مدرك الهاربين نكال الظالمين صريخ المستصرخين موضع حاجات الطالبين معتمد المؤمنين. الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وعمارها وتموج البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك. اللهم وصل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم. وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة سيدة نساء فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين. وصل على سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة. وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي حججك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائمة. اللهم وصل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله. مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا. اللهم أعزه وأعزز به وانصره وانتصر به، وانصره نصرا عزيزا، وافتح له فتحا يسيرا، واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله، وتذل بها النفاق وأهله، وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك، وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا، وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المهم به شعثنا، واشعب به صدعنا، وارتق به فتقنا، وكثر به قلتنا، وأعزز به ذلتنا، وأغن به عائلنا، واقض به عن مغرمنا، واجبر به فقرنا، وسد به خلتنا، ويسر به عسرنا، وبيض به وجوهنا، وفك به أسرنا، وأنجح به طلبتنا، وأنجز به مواعيدنا، واستجب به دعوتنا، وأعطنا به سؤلنا، وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا، وأعطنا به فوق رغبتنا، يا خير المسؤولين وأوسع المعطين. اشف به صدورنا، وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا، واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك، إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. انصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا، إله الحق، آمين. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقدان نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله، وغيبة ولينا، وكثرة عدونا، وقلة عددنا، وشدة الفتن بنا، وتظاهر الزمان علينا. فصل على محمد وآله، وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجلوه، وبضر تكشفوه، ونصر تعزوه، وسلطان حق تظهروه، ورحمة منك تجللناها، وعافية منك تلبسناها، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. We only have about a week left of this blessed month, as according to the data which is available regarding the sighting of the moon, it would not be possible on the night of the 30th, and therefore the month of Ramadan will be 30 days, and that will be the following Thursday. And the night of Thursday is not going to be part of the month of Ramadan, so exactly 1 week from today, next Wednesday, sunset is the end of the month of Ramadan. We only have a week left. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity He's given us to experience the month of Ramadan again. And we ask Him to forgive us for all our shortcomings in taking advantage of this month. We ask Him to forgive us if He has not done so far in the month of Ramadan, inshallah. One of the things that we're reminded of with the month of Ramadan, and towards the end of the month of Ramadan, it may be a concept that is in ways more applicable, in ways perhaps for some people less applicable, but it's the concept of perseverance. We still have a week left, and fasting isn't the most difficult thing. Depending on what a person does, most of us are not involved with physical activities on a daily basis. Those who are involved with physical activities out in the fields, outdoors, in this hot season, it is pretty difficult. Every day is a challenge. In the early days and beginning days, it's one way. As it continues, it becomes a thing that a person is waiting for the day that they'll be able to not fast and to be able to wake up, have their morning coffee, and start their day with whatever it is, the drinks they like, the foods they like, and throughout the day when they get hot to be able to drink any type of cold drink that they prefer, and so on and so forth. With regards to the month of Ramadan, there is a very specific end in sight. We know it's either going to be 29 days or 30 days. It's not open-ended. We know the timing of it. Yet we tend sometimes to go through this thought process, and again, especially when we're dealing with those tough days to fast, we go through this thought process of, you know, how much longer, and so on and so forth. Getting impatient. Perhaps thinking of ways that we could skip on the fast. In God's tests that He puts us through, we have somewhat of a more difficult situation, but you can see the connection between what a person who's fasting in the month of Ramadan and how every day going by is, you know, one's thinking, when is this going to be over, the difficulty of the fast, and the other tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us through, which don't have that end in sight. So this is why I think it's important to talk about perseverance, something that we constantly need to hear. One thing we hear less of regarding that concept of perseverance is that although we don't know when exactly that end time is, just like the month of Ramadan, there's definitely an end time. There is. It's just that the difference is we don't know when it is. This is important to know. And I'll tell you why it's important to know and where can we know it from. Both of those are important. Why is it important to know that there's an end time for a hardship, a difficult test that we're going through? As difficult as it is, every minute of it, it's eating me away. And every second I'm thinking that, you know, my life is over. I wish I could end it right now. That's how painful and difficult it is. Then a few hours go by, the next day goes by, second day goes by, third day goes by, and it's still not over. It's important to know that it will be over, because if we don't have that in sight, if we don't remember that this will most definitely be over, it's not going to continue forever. If we don't remember that, what's going to happen is it will be a reason for us to give up. Shaitan, Iblis, is going to come whisper. It's a test, right? It's the difficulty is because we've got to do certain things. We have to obey God in that difficult condition. There's a way out, and that is to give up and stop doing what God says. Different ways. Each condition is has its own good deed or bad deed, has its own obedience and disobedience. Whatever it may be, Iblis comes, Shaitan comes, he tries to convince us, oh, this is never going to come to an end. Or in the form of a question, will this ever end? I've been dealing this for days, I've been dealing with this for weeks, for months, for years, sometimes, it depends what it is. Sometimes the obedience and disobedience is in the form of actions. For example, a person who is struggling with the sins related to not having a spouse, there are certain sins related to that. When a young man, a young woman comes to of age and they have those sexual needs and they don't find a spouse, they don't have a spouse, they're limited, and it's difficult. Temptation is calling from every direction. It's very difficult to go by the rules that we have. And sometimes we fail, and sometimes when we fail, we hate ourselves for failing at that. And after months of dealing with that, after sometimes years, usually our youth don't get married until they're in their 20s. That's generally, that's the better ages, usually. Sometimes it's even later than that. It's difficult. It's years. I remember myself, like, you know, God, is this ever going to end? Am I ever going to be married? Will there be ever a halal available? When Iblis does that, wants to make you give in, and part of it is to get one to do wrong things. Well, if you know that, okay, it's definitely going to go away. This condition will change. It will definitely. Sooner or later, maybe even be a couple years, a few years, but it will be over. The condition will be over for sure. So sometimes that obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or disobedience of Allah that shaitan wants to get us involved with, that we need to have perseverance and keep going and avoid sins, not lower our guard, even if we slip every now and then, even if at a time we're slipping very frequently and we hate ourselves for that, perseverance is keep doing istighfar and saying, God, forgive me, it's very difficult, and so on and so forth. Not having perseverance will be to give up. You know what? Forget this. I'm just going to go indulge. Find whatever, whoever, do whatever. Who says this religion is? I'm just completely lower our guards. Many times, besides the practical, outward, physical aspect of obedience and disobedience, there is an obligation of the heart, iman, that's being tested. Am I going to give up hope in Allah? We've been told that giving up hope in God and Him removing hardship is itself a sin. It's a very great sin, in fact. That's not going to be committing this sin with my limbs, with my eyes, with my ears, with none of that. No, I may not be committing any of those sins. But if my heart, I'm like, no, God's not going to remove this. He doesn't care about me. Just losing hope, that condition. No, I'm never going to be married in that example that we mentioned. Forget it. There isn't any light at the end of the tunnel. Not that I don't see it. There just isn't. God is not going to shed any light. It will be pure darkness. That is a great sin. A horrible, horrific sin. When a problem, a difficulty, a family problem, a marital problem, a financial problem, a political problem, whatever it is that continues, Iblis wants us to lose hope. Besides the sins of the limbs and doing those things, the way he does it is to make us look back and see, it's been this long, you prayed this many times. No, it's not going to be removed. You're going to be in this condition. Just forget it. Just live your life knowing that this is never going to change. If we give in to that, we lose hope in God, removing that hardship, that difficulty, then we have fallen prey to Shaitan's trap. So this is why it's important for us to know it will end. Sooner, later, that's not something I know. None of us is going to know when it's going to be removed. But it will most definitely, 110% be removed. This we need to know and remind ourselves. Now, that was the first part of why is it important to know that it will come to an end. The question is, how can I be sure that it will come to an end? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Allah has promised in so many different ways. One of them is the following. If you ask me, I will respond. I will give you, I will grant you. How many verses, how many hadith tell us that? Doesn't tell us when, doesn't tell us how, but he says, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. Who's the one that removes su when you're in the state of اضطرار, the dire condition that a person is in? Who removes that hardship? He is the one that يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. He is the one that إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّعَى إِذَا دَعَانْ. That hardship will be removed. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. Another verse, along with difficulty, there is ease. It's not going to be entirely difficulty. That difficulty is not going to remain forever. It will be removed sooner or later.
Because God has promised that, He has told us of that, we can rest assured, always be 100% sure that whatever that difficulty is will be removed. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Whatever the cause is, it will be removed sooner or later. And since this is a promise, it is necessary for us to believe in it. In fact, this is the reason why not having hope is a great sin. It's because God has promised it will be removed. Now you're saying it's not going to be removed? Losing hope means that you're like, no, it's not going to be removed. This will remain as is. Well, that's the reason why it's such a great sin, because God says it will be removed. You're disbelieving in God. You're saying He's a liar, al-'iyadhu billah. He promises, but He doesn't uphold His promise. He doesn't hold His end of the promise. Al-'iyadhu billah. Nastajiru billah. We seek refuge in God from such a great sin to not believe, or to, God forbid, think that God has just said those words. And lastly on this is that it's very beneficial to keep those reminders in mind. Keep those verses, bring them to mind. Refer to verses that talk about them and remind you it will happen sooner or later. God has given us examples in the Holy Quran. We're reading the Quran daily. I hope we get to understand a bit more. As we keep reading the Qur'an, we keep referring to the verses, many times outside of the month of Ramadan or during the month of Ramadan, besides the time where we try to do a whole juz, where we're doing it very quickly, and it has its own benefits. It's not just reading for thawab, no, it has its benefits. But who does it have benefits for? It has benefits for those who spend time pondering upon this verse and that verse and making connections. And becoming more and more familiar with the Qur'an. Because then when you have that familiarity, when you're reading all those verses, one after the other, so many of them, an entire juz, and over the course of 30 days, you read through the whole Qur'an, then you come to see more and more connections. You realize, oh, this concept that I had checked out in this verse, in this other chapter, we find it here in this chapter as well. The wording is slightly different. The wording is slightly different. There's a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time. This story, that story, you start finding common elements within them. We need to look at verses, stories of the Quran. Look at these prophets. God has given us examples. Examples that are... In terms of our discussion on how difficulty stays for a while but then is removed, the way it has happened to those prophets, how long it has remained with them and then removed, those are very exceptional cases that are extremely difficult, a lot more difficult than what we go through. But the examples have been mentioned. After all that time, Ya'qub, in his old age, saw his son. It will be removed sooner or later. And that prolonged period is good for Ya'qub and is good for Yusuf. That's another aspect of it. We're not focusing on that. Just threw that in there as a reminder. Like, why does it take so long? It's not that God can't do it. It's beneficial to the person. But with that belief, with that understanding, it will definitely come to an end. Then a person has taken advantage of that test, of that bala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to the believer in order for that believer to be elevated, to be lifted above and beyond. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlightens our
hearts with the light of the Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us take advantage of what remains of the month of Ramadan. We ask Him to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us close companions of the Imam of our time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping His cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and most of our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests, relieve all those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses. Ya Allah, relieve all the people of the world of the pandemic that we're dealing with. Allow us to come together, congregate, perform the jama'ah prayers. Help us as a community with the property that we are purchasing. The signs are clear that, inshallah, we're moving towards having that building. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prepare us mentally, spiritually, financially, and otherwise, in order that once we have the building, to be able to fulfill our responsibility to Allah for giving us that extra resource that we didn't previously have, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Alih, rahimallah man qara al-fatihata مع الصلوات.